Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We thank him very much. He joins us weekly. The films are The Strange Ones, Lover for a Day, and In Between. Hi, David. I could write a book with all those words.
I'm sure you could write at least a sentence.
Okay.
We always try to come up with interesting titles here, and fortunately,
you've done it.
Yeah, the movie world always is supplying them, and usually, actually, titles can be interesting clues to what's in a movie. Every once in a while, there's a title that really tells you exactly what's in a movie. In these three cases, The Strange Ones, Lover for a Day, and In Between, I suppose they're all a little bit on the elusive side. But let's delve into them a little bit. We can see if we can make any sense out of it. Ones is, as its title does actually sort of, is a somewhat strange movie. And for me, when a movie is both strange and well done, it's a plus. I like strange movies. I like movies that take me to places where I have not been before and make me feel like I am really kind of immersed in that world, at least for somewhere around an hour and a half. And The Strange Ones actually does succeed in doing that. It's not a great film. It's actually a very small and modestly made film. But it's a good movie, and I had a good time watching it, and I was fairly immersed in it along the way. It was made by a team, Christopher Radcliffe and Lauren Wolkstein, and they have put together a movie about a couple of people, a man and a boy, or an older man and sort of a teenage boy. And they are traveling together, and they are going somewhere or other in a vehicle, and we don't know what their relationship is exactly, and we don't know where they're going, and we don't know where they're coming from, and as the movie gradually unfolds, we figure these things out, at least more or less, to a greater or lesser extent. So the main thing that we know from the way the story is presented at the beginning is that there is something about these two which is not as it seems. They're going through very ordinary places. They're out in the sort of the middle of nowhere. They're in rural America, and they're going to ordinary places like a diner and a motel and places like that. But definitely there are things here which we are not yet privy to as the story starts to unfold. And little by little, we see little flashbacks, mostly sort of what are sometimes called sort of flash cuts. Something happened that was violent. There's a house which is wildly on fire. There is somebody who's getting spattered with blood. There are things like this. And so, as usual in the movies, we know that something very dramatic has happened in the backstory here. But again, it's not spelled out for us. And so we have to watch the movie and put together the clues. Apparently, from what I can understand, some people put the clues together fairly readily and sort of, oh, I know how this is going to come out when the movie is sort of halfway through. Other people end up the movie saying, well, that was certainly odd, and I never did quite get all the information. Me, I guess somewhere in between. But what I mainly like about this movie is its atmosphere. And by the way, it's a taut movie. It's well under an hour and a half long. So if you are mystified by it, you get to sort of enjoy the atmosphere of it and maybe piece together the clues. And either way, it's not going to last very long. But I had a good time watching it, and I was fairly immersed in it. I wish that the movie were more satisfyingly resolved, even if that resolution were mysterious. I think it could have been a bit more satisfying than it is. But again, for me, it's mainly a movie about atmosphere, about piecing together clues. I'm not very interested in whodunits, but in this case, the clues are more interesting than that. It's not just like a puzzle that you have to work your way through. And I did enjoy the atmosphere of it. And it's very, very nicely acted by a good cast. And, you know, no big names in it, but people who are obviously committed to these roles and have and enjoy playing them. So in the end, The Strange One is a strange movie, perhaps too strange for some, not strange enough for others. But I, again, enjoyed it less as a puzzle to be solved than as an atmosphere to be enjoyed for around an hour and 20 minutes. And I do recommend it. It's a nice movie to seek out. Second movie for today, Lover for a Day, was directed and co-written by Philippe Garrel, who was a French filmmaker. His father, Maurice Garrel, was a very illustrious French actor. And Philippe Garrel has built a very strong reputation as a very independent movie maker who makes sort of small, very kind of pithy movies. There's not a whole lot of wasted space in any of his films, I think. He's been making them for a long time, and there's a sort of a cult of Philippe Garrel among some film critics, which I am not a member of. I don't think he is one of the great filmmakers of our time or anything like that, but he's a very, very fine filmmaker, and I do enjoy the very human scale on which he makes his movies. So Lover for a Day focuses primarily on two young women, and a somewhat older man. And the man, whose name is Gilles, is a philosophy professor. And we discover at the beginning that he is having a very serious and very heavy affair with one of his students, a young woman named Ariane. And interestingly, he also has a daughter, whose name is Jeanne, and she is about the same age as the student with whom Gilles is having this very hot and heavy affair with. So at the beginning of the movie, Jeanne has broken up with her boyfriend, and she has come back home to stay with her father for a while, and that's when she discovers that he is now living with this woman who was one of his students. And so you have this friendship between two young women, the daughter and the lover of this professor. And there are sort of backstories involving other men who these young women are involved with. So that's basically the setup for the story. And it is a story of human relationships and of the relationships between these two women and the somewhat older man. And there are various sort of secondary and tertiary characters sort of floating around the edge of the story. And where the movie gets its value from, and I think it has a lot of value, I think it's a very, very good film, is from the very humane approach of the director to all of these characters and their relationships and the somewhat tangled relationship that they have. And particularly his focus on the two young women. Philippe Garrel deals very well with, and very frequently, with female characters. And this is something which, in my opinion, the movies need a whole lot more of. The movies remain internationally as well as in Hollywood a very white male and dominated enterprise. And so we are constantly having movies totally focused on white males, with everybody else sort of down the scale, down the ladder of concern. And Philippe Garrel is one of the filmmakers who deals well with male characters too, but he deals very well with female characters. So we have here a movie which is, as I have said, very humanly scaled, very humane and compassionate in its attitudes toward all the characters, very sort of live and let live. It is not judgmental, although it does have its values are very, very much in order and become more and more evident as the movie goes along. And so it's a nice corrective to all the big overblown movies that we see nowadays. I have noted that as time goes on here with the current Academy Award race, which is going on, The Shape of Water seems to be in position to maybe be the big winner of the year. We'll see if that actually pans out. It's already a very big winner in terms of nominations. And there we have a movie which does deal with strong female characters. In very unusual ways, but also it's not just it's certainly not a white male dominated enterprise. So there is progress being made. More progress is needed. A whole lot more progress is needed. Lover for a Day is the kind of little movie from overseas that does not figure strongly in these sort of awards races, but which is well worth paying attention to. And it's why I always enjoy calling attention to a movie like this or The Strange Ones, which I just talked about. Movies that are smaller, more out of the way. They won't have great big ads in your newspaper, but they're well worth seeking out because they are very worthwhile movies. So, Lover for a Day. Again, I'm not a member of the, I do not worship at the altar of Philippe Garrel, but he is a very, very powerful filmmaker in his way, and I salute the kind of small, intimate movies that he makes. Our final movie, In Between, also kind of comes into that category, and it also comes into the category of a lot of movies making their way to American theaters lately, which do deal with the Middle East, with both the Arab and Palestinian part of the Middle East and the Israeli part of the Middle East. And In Between is another one of those. It is an Israeli film, but it was made by a Palestinian woman named Masaloon Hamoud, who both wrote and directed it. But it was made with Israeli funding and is kind of an Israeli-French co-production, and is very interesting for those reasons alone. And the main characters of In Between are three women who share an apartment together. Two of them share the apartment at the beginning of the story, and then a third one moves in. So the main characters, the ones who we meet first, are Leila and Salma. And Salma is we don't really find out what she does right away, but she's a bartender, and she appears to be a lesbian bartender. So we have a kind of a same-sex angle in this movie. And she's also a DJ. That's one of our main characters. And then the other one, Leila, is an attorney. She is a criminal defense lawyer who we only see her at work a little bit, but that's what she does for a living. And she obviously is interested in issues of justice and fairness and things like that. And then a third woman moves into the apartment, and her name is Noor. And all three of these women are Palestinians, but they are living in Tel Aviv. So they are living smack in the middle of Israel. And this, of course, I won't try to start getting into all this. But what's built into this movie is all of the jillions of challenges of being Palestinian in that part of the world in the first place. And secondly, living smack in the middle of a very important Israeli city, although a city which is known to be very cosmopolitan in its attitudes compared, I guess, with some other parts of Israel. So as time goes by, we learn more things about these three women. I gotta say that the movie starts off with a scene of hard partying where we meet our first two main characters, Leila and Salma. And I mean, you could be in the middle of any of the big cosmopolitan American cities here. Everybody is smoking and drinking and smoking pot and sort of going wild and flirting, and all kinds of stuff is going on. So this is not a movie about your strict sort of religious part of Israel or part of the Palestinian territories either. But as time goes on, we find out that religion and ethnic tensions and all the things that we, I think, automatically associate with that part of the world now are very much in the center of the story. The third girl who moves in, young woman who moves in at the apartment, Noor, is much different from the other two. She is very serious. She is more religious than the others. She is studying computer science. And her main complaint is that there's too much noise around and she can't study properly. And that's one of the reasons why she has moved into this apartment in the first place. But little by little, the young women learn to get along with each other very nicely. But we also meet the men in their lives. Noor has a fiancé who is very eager to get married and wants to move up their wedding date. And he, like Noor, is extremely strict and extremely religious and extremely observant. But he is far more obsessive about these things than she is. And we discover in a really horrifying scene, which I think is around two-thirds of the way through the movie, roughly speaking, that he is also just your typical male chauvinist pig. And there's a horrifying scene where he treats Noor with appallingly, horrifyingly bad behavior, which leads Noor to confess what happened to her two roommates, and the three of them then get together and get a very appropriate kind of revenge on this awful, awful fiancé. On the other hand, one of the other young women also has a boyfriend, and he seems to be a real nice, regular guy and is not putting much in the way of demands or restrictions on her until all of a sudden it turns out that as they get closer to possibly getting married, he starts coming down on her. Well, wait a minute now, you really aren't behaving like a proper young woman ought to, and maybe you ought to, for example, give up smoking. And she says, well, maybe I should, but it's not exactly for you to tell me. And there is conflict there. So one of the things that is at the heart of this movie, the main thing, I suppose, is the relationship among these three young women who become roommates. Secondary thing, which is also extremely important at the center of the movie, are the relationships between these young women and their significant others. And in two of those cases, they are male significant others, and the males turn out to be all too typical males. And in the other case, it's a female, because remember, one of these women does have a same-sex orientation, is a female lover, and she turns out to be a lot better, but then other people are putting pressure on that relationship precisely because it is a same-sex relationship. And there is also a generational aspect to this, to this as well, where we meet some of the young women's parents, where we find out what they're like and how they are responding to a lot of these things, not always in ways that we might expect. So we have here a movie which has a very, again, written and directed by a woman, very much about female characters, very insightful about their lives and their problems and the pressures that are brought to bear on them. I will say that I wish the movie were a little more sharply outlined in some respects. It is not clear why a young woman who is obviously a successful attorney should have to live in an apartment with two roommates, for example, one of whom is a bartender and the other of whom is a student. I'm all perfectly plausible, but you kind of wonder why that is. But by and large, a beautifully detailed movie, a beautifully acted movie. I was absorbed in it from beginning to end. And if you had to choose one of these three movies to see, I would suggest In Between, a very worthwhile film, which I was thoroughly absorbed in from beginning to end. So there is my somewhat variegated story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Strange Ones, Lover for a Day, and In Between.